Have you got your Bibles? There's a couple of people. You've got to have your sword. You've got to have your sword with you. I wonder, how many of you still write letters? Just a show of hands. How many still write letters and put in an envelope and put a stamp on it and post it? Some of you? Not many. We seem to have moved away from writing letters, don't we? It's an email or a text or a WhatsApp. I don't know about you, when you look at the letters that come through the letterbox, generally it's junk mail, isn't it, that you get. It's not very often that you get a personal letter that's written to you, a letter that you can be excited to open. Not many people get excited to open mail these days. But as this is Father's Day, and we don't really do much with regards to Father's Day or Mother's Day and things, today I wanted to look at the father heart of God today. I want us to see what it is that God shows us about being a father. So I want you to imagine that you receive a letter. Again, it's not an email, it's not a text message, it's not a notification, but it's a handwritten letter. It's personal, it's intimate, and it's urgent. Now I want you to imagine that this letter was written before you was born, by someone who knows you completely. Someone who loves you unconditionally and has been waiting your whole life for you to read it. That letter is this book. That letter is all in this book of everything of what God thinks of you. Of everything of what God wants to say to you. There are three simple but quite profound things that we can get from this book. Firstly is that God knows us. Secondly is God loves us. And God calls you his child. Amen? So I've got five parts to my sermon today that I want to look at. First one is you are known. Second is you are loved. Third is you are fathered. Fourth is you are reconciled. And fifth is you are invited. Praise God. You are known completely and lovingly. You are known. You know, in the world we live in now, so fast, so instant, you can very easily hide in plain sight, can't you? I'm sure maybe you've been to a place in a big crowd and you can feel like nobody sees you because you were in the middle of this big crowd and nobody seems to know you. You could maybe come to church and sit down and not interact with anybody. You can come in, sit down, look the part, and leave and not really speak to anybody, or maybe nobody speaks to you. I hope we do buck that trend in this church, because we do hear that we are a welcoming church, and I hope we continue with that. But it's so easy to hide in plain sight, isn't it? But you know, God wants you to know that he knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows your struggles. And scripture gives this incredible declaration that confronts these deepest, dark fears within each of us. Is that the fear of being unknown, or maybe the fear of being unseen or overlooked. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. As some of you may know, Psalm 139 is probably one of my favourite scriptures in the whole Bible. It's probably the one chapter I can recite from beginning to end because I've read it and devoured it so much. I love everything about it. And it tells us that God does know everything about us. He knows us sitting and rising and our thoughts from afar, the paths that we travel, every word that we speak, before we even say them, he knows them. You know, this isn't just cold data. This isn't just ones and zeros. This isn't an Excel spreadsheet of this is what I know about this person. But this is actually a heart response. It's a heart that knows his children. How many of you as parents how many of you have seen the videos when a kid's maybe sat on the edge of a sofa and they're about to fall off and dad just catches them? Or the kid's cycling down the road and there's a lamppost in the way and dad quickly catches them. You know, as parents, how many of you have said, I know you better than you know yourself? How many of you have said that? Because when the child sits on the edge of the seat and you say, you're going to have to be careful, you're going to fall off. No, I'll be all right, I'll be all right. You're going to fall off. Whoa. And they fall off because we know them better than they know themselves. And this is what God is saying. If you change the emphasis on verse 2 and 3, it says, I know when you sit and when you rise. I perceive your thoughts from afar. I discern your going out and your lying down. I am familiar with all your ways. This is God saying he knows everything about you. Matthew 10:30 says that God even knows the hairs on our head. The number of hairs, some have more and some have less. It says he knit us together in our mother's womb. Acts 17:26, it says he even determined the time and place of your birth. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You were crafted with intention, positioned for purpose, and declared by the creator of all things that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know, the next bit after that is our response is, and I know full well. God is saying you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then the next is the response of, and I know that full well. And some of us maybe can't say that. Some of us maybe struggle with that. But you were not a mistake. Before you drew your first breath, God wrote your days in his book. Before the foundation of the world, he chose you. You were known fully, completely, and lovingly known. Say, I'm lovingly known. Second part is you are loved extravagantly and eternally. This is the incredible truth that we read in Scripture, that that God's knowledge of us and God's love, God's knowledge of us flows from his love for us. It's not a distant love, but it's a personal, it's a an intimate love. It's not reluctant, but it's a decision. 1 John 4:16 says, and so we know and rely on the love of God that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. We need to understand that God is love. Religion and media and the world have misrepresented God. We know it's the oldest sin in the book is to create a God in our own image. And that is often what people are doing. It's the big thing now. Well, my God would never do that. Yeah, because probably it's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is love. Scripture declares here we know when John leaned on Jesus' chest at the Last Supper, and he declares God is love. 1 John 3:1-2 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. What powerful words. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. I love that word, lavished on us. You know, when you look to the Greek of the word lavish, it's extravagant. It's like over and above what you would expect. It carries that sense of excess and abundance beyond what seems reasonable. So what you think of as reasonable, it is so much more. This is not a God who is stingy, but is affectionate in his love. He's the father who runs and embraces the prodigal, throwing a party for the lost sheep, rejoicing over you with singing. Say, he rejoices over me with singing. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. His thoughts towards you are more numerous than the grains of the sand. His love for you is everlasting. He'll not stop doing good to you. He says that you're his treasured possession. His plan for your future is filled with hope. These are all different scriptures. These are all what's in the Bible of how God shows how he loves you. The third part is you are fathered perfectly and completely. And for some of us, this may be a difficult thing. Today may be a difficult day. Some of us don't like the word father. Some of us love the word father. For some, it brings about many random thoughts, maybe of rejection, or abuse, or pain, or a deep longing. Matthew 7:9, it says, "Which of you, if your son asks you for bread, will give him a stone? Or if you ask him for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask?" Hallelujah. Praise God. God has goodness for us. He's the Father that we can depend on. Let's not be dissuaded by possible bad fathers that we've had. But let us learn what Scripture says that our Father is and can be to us. He's the one who carries the sheep close to his chest, close to his heart. It says every good and perfect gift comes from his hand. He's your greatest encourager. Hallelujah. He's the father that you've always longed for. The perfect, eternal, infinitely loving father. Fourth point, you are reconciled through Jesus Christ. How many of you as parents or even if you've had any interaction with a child ever in your life, so I'm talking to everybody, have you ever had to teach a child how to do wrong? We don't teach children how to do wrong, do we? For some reason, they seem to know how to do it very easily. We've never had to teach our children how to shout at us, how to steal, how to whatever. You see, as we know, and I'm preaching to the choir, unless there are people in here that don't know God, but there's this divide that sin has caused. Our relationship with God has been broken by the sin in our lives. If God loves us so perfectly, you may be asking, then why is there so much hatred, so much evil in the world? Well, we get it wrong, don't we? As individuals, we get it wrong. We fail God. But God's not the one to throw us out. But God is the one who embraces us. God is the one who will run towards us when we need him. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Hallelujah. And 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Praise God. Praise God. We don't have to live our lives without Jesus. We don't have to live our lives and face that next problem without God being our strength. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. So when we read about Jesus healing the sick, when we read about Jesus embracing the outcast and weeping at the graveside, welcoming children, this is the Father heart of God. This is seeing God in action. God is fully revealed in Jesus. And as we know at the cross, that terrible but yet glorious cross is the ultimate expression of his love for us. That ultimate expression that would send his son to die on a cross for each and every one of us. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The fifth point is you are invited. Hallelujah. It's nice when you get an invite, isn't it? To a wedding or a do or something. I have mentioned this before and I'll say it again. My granddad got an invite to a garden party. He got an invite to go down to Buckingham Palace and get an MBE. You know, when you get these kind of invitations, it makes you feel, look at me, this is brilliant. It's a bit awkward, isn't it, when you get an invite to a wedding and there's somebody else you're telling and they haven't had an invite. It's a bit awkward, that, isn't it? Oh, you didn't get an invite. But do you know what with the invite with God is? You're all invited. You're all invited. There's nobody that's left out. Everyone is invited. And God says, come home. Come home. Luke 15:7 says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Hallelujah. There's partying in heaven. They're having a party when somebody gives their life, when they repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. See, in Luke 15, Jesus tells us of three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. And in each one of these, what is lost is searched for with urgency. It's then celebrated with extravagance. The father in the prodigal son story does not wait inside the house with his arms folded, thinking of conditions of his return. No, he runs to meet him. When he sees him coming, doesn't he runs to meet him and embraces him. This is our Heavenly Father. John 1:12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Praise God. You cannot earn this family status. You cannot earn your way into it. You cannot behave well. You cannot pray your way in. But you can receive it. Like a child receives something with hands open. As we've said, with repentance and faith. Just let that sink in. That God is the everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. You know, all the names that we hear, all the attributes that we read of, is the one who flung stars into space, who spoke and galaxies were created. He holds the universe together by the word of his power. And when he gives us this manual to live by, he doesn't sign it as the cosmic force or the supreme being or this divine energy or this something that you cannot ever know, but he signs it as Abba Father. He signs it as Daddy, as Baba. He signs it as your loving dad. Not a God of cold religion, of rules and regulations, but as a father through relationship. Not through performance or shame, but the God who knit you together, who knows your name. You're not a number. You're not a factor, a figure. You're not an NHS number. You are known by name. He counts your tears. He rejoices over you with singing. And who gave everything that he had to bring you home. I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. Thank you, Lord. The stewards were going to be coming round in a minute with the Father's love letter. I'm sure you've maybe heard it. I'm sure you've maybe listened to this before, but we'll play the video. This is the Father's love letter, and everything in this is from Scripture. And this is the Father's love letter to each of you. Thank you.
My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love, and it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart, for it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad. Almighty God.
Can we just stand? I'm going to ask Franco and the team. Let's just close our eyes. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will help us to know you. Help us to know you as our Father. Lord, whatever image we have of our earthly fathers, Lord, we want to know you. Lord, I pray that you will heal Any past hurts? Any past difficulties of rejection or anything that is affecting us to know who you really are? Lord, we thank you that you sent your only Son, that we can have this incredible relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. Franco is just going to play through a song. We're going to sing along. Just allow the Holy Spirit to heal you if you need healing. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your situation. Jesus.